occupational therapist and a certified aging in place specialist. And this is the Home Designs for Life podcast, your resource for aging in place and universal design. For more resources on aging in place, please visit my website, homedesignsforlife.com. There you will find my blog and more valuable information on how you can age in place and create a home for life. Hello, everyone, and thank you for being with us today. My guest is Kat Garrow. She is an occupational therapist in the state of Hawaii, and she is also an instructor for the Executive Certificate Home Modification Program out of University of Southern California, Davis School of Gerontology, and she also owns her own business as a home modification specialist, and she is going to educate us today and tell us how OTs and other professionals can do the same thing that she's been doing for several years. Kat, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Happy to be here and answer questions and help support other OTs.
Well, great. And I want you to start telling us a little bit about your company, Thrive for Life, and how you started that. And I believe that you were probably one of the very first OTs that got into home modifications because you started your company in 2011. So just tell us how that came to be.
Yeah. I had been practicing occupational therapy for about 10 years at that point, kind of did a good chunk of time in pediatrics, in the schools, birth to three, and then moved on to skilled nursing, traditional adults, home health. And even with the time I spent in pediatrics, and then the same issue would happen from the pediatric hospitals to skilled nursing facilities and rehab facilities, just watching the discharge process kind of fail our patients, where us as occupational therapists, we're really good at doing our comprehensive assessment, even measuring the home and seeing, okay, these are all the things you need to do to make the home accessible and safe and improve your independence. But then the follow-through is lacking. And I noticed the follow-through was lacking when I started working in home health, and I would get patients who had just discharged home, and, you know, months later, or even weeks later, they just weren't able to get the recommendations that were made. They know what they need to get done, but they just weren't able to do it. And at that time, I had actually read an article about emerging areas of practice for occupational therapy. And it was talking about home modifications. And I just was really interested in merging this frustration that I was noticing of families not able to do what the recommendations that we were asking them to do. And how, if we were able to create some kind of comprehensive approach, a consulting firm, let's try it. So Thrive for Life was born out of the frustration of the disconnect and the idea of, okay, could we follow our recommendations from start to finish? And I say we, because it's myself and Damien Sempio, who's another occupational therapist, my business partner. We went to OT school together and at USC and kept in touch through the years and decided in 2011, well, we don't have to quit our day jobs. At that time, we were working in the skilled nursing facility setting. I think I was doing a little bit of home health as well, but could we be a consultant to these families or even the health plans and funding sources and help find funding sources, find contractors, talk to the landlords, educate family members who are, you know, pushing back against the recommendations and actually don't discharge until the recommendations are completed, or at least figure out a plan to revisit that case every 6 months or so and make sure the doctor is aware that their home setting is extremely unsafe and they're at risk for falls, yet they are not able to do X, Y, and Z for these reasons. And started the business slowly. And over time, I think, as you know, we are based in Hawaii on Oahu, and it's a small community here. So over time, the hospitals, different therapists we've worked with started to understand, okay, if we refer to you, it's actually another therapist, not a vendor or a durable medical equipment company. We can help actually grab the relay, race the baton, and follow those cases from start to finish. And so slowly we built up a business and we're able to take the leap and quit our day jobs. I'm making this sound easy. It was a lot of hard work, but we did find referral sources through private pay, through some equipment needs, and through Medicaid, the waiver program. So I'll pause there and see what you have to ask me now.
Okay. Well, great. That's a lot of great information, because I know that there are OTs and other healthcare professionals like physical therapists and social workers that are trying to get into home modifications but don't know exactly how to navigate it, since it's such a fragmented coalition of professionals that you need in order to actually make a home modification happen. And especially if you want it to be paid for through other funding sources. So tell us how you started with the ECHM program at USC Davis.
The USC, the Executive Certificate in Home Modifications course at the University of Southern California's the Leonard Davis School of Gerontology. In 2011, actually, when Damian and I were really thinking we want to do something in home modifications, we reached out. We took the ECHM course at USC. They had that course going back then, and it was really helpful. It really gave us a foundation to feel confident to go out in the field and try and be a home modification consultant. And about, 7 years later, actually, you know, I also got the specialty certificate with AOTA, has the SCEM, the specialty certificate in environmental modifications delegation. And it's changed now, but when I was applying for it at I guess year 5 or 6 of doing home mods, I think now they do more of a course, more of a test. And to be honest, I think it's a lot easier to get the SCEM now than it was when I applied. But long story short, I was trying to get my SCEM and I realized that part of the criteria required that, the way I read it was try and get yourself published, try and do a research study in the field of home modifications. At least that's what stuck with me when I was reading the curriculum or the criteria. I thought, okay, actually I want to try and do that. I want to try and do a research study, but I don't know how to. Actually, I knew the design I wanted to do. Actually, I wanted to look at how does home modifications improve the quality of life, not only of our clients, but of our caregivers. We know that improves the quality of life of our clients, but what we don't see, what I still haven't seen, is a lot of data showing this direct impact that if we do a home modification and we do some pre and post testing of the quality of life of the caregiver, it improves. And what are the impacts of that for maybe lawmakers or different types of just approaches? I mean, if we can get a caregiver to return back to work because their loved one is independent and safe at home, or improved independence and safety, then that's, you know, remarkable as far as for the caregiver goes. So continuing the long story, I actually reached back out to USC, the ECHM program, and met with them and told them what I wanted to do because I needed an institutional review board to support the study that I wanted to do. They said, no, well, you're not a part of the, I mean, the way I remember it, it was a very sweet, kind, no, we can't use our institutional review board for your small business at this time. But so exciting what you're doing, Kat. And then about 6 months later, they asked me to join them on a conference presentation in San Francisco at the area. Let's see, it was the Aging in America conference. So I kind of co-presented with them. And let's see, that was 2018. And then 2019, they said, well, again, we can't help you with that institutional review board, but would you like to teach one of the courses, the How to Get It Done series for the ECHM? And I said, yes, I would absolutely enjoy doing that. And that was right before the pandemic in 2019. And what I really loved about signing up for this, teaching the course, is that it's actually an, I think you're in the course right now. You're almost done.
Yes.
So it's asynchronous. So it's great for professionals who are still, you know, doing their day jobs. It's not at a set time where I'm lecturing. It's asynchronous where they can log in and I can stay in Hawaii and still be an instructor for students who are enrolled in the course across the nation. And I'm pretty active. I'm able to email and really kind of create relationship with the students, but I didn't have to move out of Hawaii. I'm still practicing and doing my job here in Hawaii, but then also teaching the course for about four times a year. And I'm really enjoying it because it's majority of the course is with occupational therapists. I'd say about, if there's 30 students in the class, about 25 are OTs, and then the other five are contractors or interior designers. There's some physical therapists. And I love really being there, the students' cheerleaders. Oftentimes they're practicing OTs who have been in the field, like much like I was, about 10 years or 5 years, and they're looking to change or adjust and become a consultant. And so, it's great to be a cheerleader because as OTs, I believe that we should be at the forefront of the home modification consulting field because we are uniquely trained, as you know, to be able to make these recommendations that are medically necessary and appropriate and support independence and safety. And so oftentimes what I'm doing in the class, as far as, yes, I'm giving a lot of the details of how to draw to scale and how to work with a contractor and talk about permits and things like that, but also just that cheerleader for OTs who are already OTs and practicing and been out in the field, you're ready to do it. You're ready to become a home modification consultant. And oftentimes I'm just kind of giving them that reassurance that you're on your way and ready to go. That makes sense.
I really enjoyed the ECHM course because it goes in depth into all of the different areas that are very valuable. You know, how do you perform an assessment? You know, what assessments are out there that exist to do a home safety evaluation and what's best for that particular client? And then also how to work with the general contractors and other disciplines. And then there's your course, which was great, about how to actually draw a home modification, draw a floor plan to scale, and then the funding sources. It really is very in-depth. Now, how would you say the ECHM certification and the coursework is different from the CAPS certification, And I personally, I'll tell you, I believe a person should have both, especially if you're an occupational therapist or a clinician. I believe that you should have the ECHM certification. What do you think?
I think that us occupational therapists are really good at, we go out and get as much training as possible and as many letters behind our names as possible. There's a lot, you know, through the last decade, there's so many different certifications that have popped up. There's like a spinal cord one and there's so many different letters behind the options for letters behind our name. Whatever really reassures you as a practicing occupational therapist that you're ready, I believe is enough. I am still that cheerleader that your OT license and your OT degree coupled with your experience in home health and skilled nursing and, you know, doing some of the hard work that we do in the hospitals will give you that experience, that unique experience that contractors, architects, interior designers, just, they don't have that training. And of course that's, you know, 4 years or two, however many years it takes for you to become an OT. Couple that with the ECHM course is another, is it about 3 months? Pretty intensive classes that you're self-guided, but you're going through. That's a really good foundation. The CAP certification, the Certified Agent in Place certification, is, I really appreciate that they identify in the curriculum the value of an occupational therapist and identify that, you know, for contractors who are taking the CAP certification, that there are other members on the team and those should be in some cases occupational therapists. I think the NAHB, the National Association of Home Builders, has done a really good job in marketing the CAPS designation. So a lot of consumers recognize it and are reassured that, okay, the person I'm working with is CAPS certified. And it's a 2 to 4 day training versus the years of being an OT and versus the months of the ECHM course. So I can't speak to what exactly everybody should. I don't think we need a standardized approach, except you need to be a licensed OT. And I think I have a hard time with cheerleading new grads who want to do home modifications. I'd love to see, I would like new grads who are interested in home mods to get a little bit more experience in the field, do home health, actually work in the hospital, see people when they're at their worst and when they're going to be transferred home and really get an idea in skilled nursing and rehab settings, what they would look like before they go home. I think I'm really using a lot of that experience when I'm making my recommendations. Or just that backing that I know I'm making the right recommendation. I'm not missing anything. There's a lot of nuance in being an occupational therapist. So then over time, anyways, once you're at 5 years, I would say 5-10 years, you're really, you know your stuff. And now it's just really reassuring you that you've done the training to go out and make recommendations. And then of course, go out and keep, you know, doing some more certifications or get more, you know, education in the field. But yeah, I'm not sure that you have to have both designations to be practicing.
And, you know, piggybacking on what you said about new grads, I would like to see programs include home modification in their curriculum, because it's such an integral part of OT. And that was what led me to work in home health, was my professors saying home health is the perfect path for an OT because you get to see people in their natural environments, and you have the opportunity to not only rehabilitate the person, but also change the environment and change how they perform the task. And
that's
so
right. That's right.
I think home modifications is a big part of what we do as an occupational therapist. So it should be in the curriculum.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're really, it's a disservice at this point to kind of ignore it and let new grad OTs figure it out. I think why not empower them now to give them all of that, as much knowledge as they can have as a base, and then give them that leg up when they're out in the field. Oh yeah, I learned this in school, you know, this is now in practice. Okay. This is feeling even more confident to go out and maybe have a mentor at that point, or, you know, the other OTs on their team presumably don't have to bring them up to speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And this is a perfect lead-in to my next question, which is about your mentorship program. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so during the pandemic, just kind of thinking about other ways that I can support OTs who are in the field of home mods and have taken the courses, the ECHM, and they're still reaching out or with questions. I love questions. I love helping other OTs become successful. And the more complex cases, the better. And so over the pandemic, Damien and I decided, well, what if we created a mentorship program for OTs, basically who are interested in a home modification consulting approach or business, but they're struggling to get started or keep momentum with referral sources. So basically, how can we help OTs avoid the mistakes that we made when we were starting our business, and providing them support and the support and guidance that I wish I had to achieve, you know, the goals of becoming, you know, having a self-sustaining business. Yeah, you know, we did make a lot of mistakes. We did kind of spin our wheels at the beginning, and that's part of the journey. You're going to make a lot of mistakes, but if there's a way that, you know, we can help other OTs guide them and make sure, you know, there's two hats you're wearing. So there's the clinical hat, and you're getting all of that good information by taking courses, and you are an OT and you're practicing, but the business side of it is tough. So what insurance are you going to have? How do you set up your payment strategy, payment plans? How do you, how do you deal with liability and getting clients and keeping clients? And how do you, you know, determine which programs you want to approach? How do you talk to a case manager who is under a home modification program, but their program is already established where the families get their own contractor bids? And so they've basically written out an occupational therapist from the program. How do you get an OT into already established programs into your state? We did that over time here in Hawaii slowly. And so how can we mentor other OTs in doing basically what we did here, in a sense, and becoming more successful in a faster pace? Yeah, I mean, anyways, the Home Mod Mentorship Program, you know, it's intensive guidance. It's a 6-month program where you'd be working with me and really kind of landing your first paying customer. But we also have a curriculum where you would click through, and there's a portal and platform where you've got homework and tasks. to follow. But yeah, it's just, you know, even if you don't have a business entity or a business bank account or marketing materials yet, you know, let's see if we can guide you and having a successful business.
And what's the first step in someone who's interested in the mentor program? I see you have, it's more like a membership. Am I correct?
Yeah, there's a, let's see, if you go to our website, thriveforlife.com, and you go to the Home Mod tab, at the bottom, there's a Home Mods mentor, and you can sign up to be interviewed. And then we can go from there and see if it's a good fit to join the program.
Okay. Well,
I also want to go over case studies with students, with OTs. You know, I do have really complex, interesting case studies that I think are invaluable for people who are out in the field and starting to come across difficult cases. And I want to share that with other OTs. You know, how do you present, you know, modification examples to funding sources where it's very expensive, but it's the right thing to do? How do you, you know, how do you do that? How do you show, okay, small, medium, and large scale solutions, and then talk through what's medically appropriate and reassure a funding source that, yeah, this is the right thing to do? How do you talk to landlords and guide them through approving a modification that's going to change their home for a tenant, but maybe the tenant is going to have to put it back the way it was when they move out? How do you navigate that? And that's something that we can help navigate for our consumers, but I'd love to share that with other OTs so that they're not scrambling when they come across these new cases for them as a in their business. Let me see if I can help them, help guide them, and be behind the scenes if they come across any difficult cases.
Yeah, that would be very valuable. And I will put the URL of this website, the Home Mods Mentor Program, in the show notes. Great. And so my last question is, with the growing number of baby boomers becoming older every year until about 2035, how do you see the area of home modifications growing and changing over time?
Oh, that's a good one. My hope is that there become more occupational therapists who have home modification consulting businesses established, ready to go, turnkey ready for the silver tsunami. Because unfortunately, what I do also see is the well elderly population, I don't see them. I mean, I could be wrong, but I just don't see a big change happening with the well elderly, meaning prevention. I've done a lot of outreach in my community and even amongst my family, and you know, and you talk about prevention and things you can do to prevent falls in your home. And I just don't see the well elderly doing those recommendations. I see them saying, well, I'm not old, and they just see themselves as healthy, and they don't need to do from my perspective, the glaring modifications that are just, look, you're just staring at the home and saying, gosh, they really need to remove X, Y, and Z for their safety. So I see just what I've seen over the last 10 years of running my business. I try and do prevention, education, nothing happens. the injury happens after the fall, and then I get an urgent phone call either from the hospital or from the caregiver saying, we need a ramp. We can't access the shower. Can you come tomorrow? I think that's just going to become amplified over the next decade. And yeah, we can keep trying to get people to change before the fall. Absolutely. I think medicine needs to, you know, their primary care providers need to do more fall, you know, balance testing, identify the risk, and really, you know, if our medical system would pay for the modifications, we might see things happen before the fall. But my guess is, my hunch, it's going to continue to be that reactionary crisis mode after the fall. Can you get a ramp in now? And if we have a, you know, a group of competent OTs who are confident and ready to go, and we get that phone call from, you know, a hospital or from a family member and react professionally like we always do, it's going to become a streamlined approach to after the fall care. I think hospitals will hopefully have their set, you know, OT home mod businesses out in the community that they, you know, much like they call a durable medical equipment company to install a hospital, to deliver a hospital bed and a wheelchair to the house when somebody discharges. Why can't they also call an OT home modification consultant and get things moving? I know that there's also home health care. And so, you know, it can be a blended approach. Okay. Mm-hmm. Instead, they apply to home health care agencies, but there's still this lack in the home health. Well, I could be wrong. I'm making.
No, I agree with you because yeah, they're operating under certain parameters, and mm-hmm. making changes to the home is not their priority. And correct. They don't have the resources to do that.
In home health, right?
Right.
So that's a whole, I mean, I could go, just let me go one more step then. So couldn't we also change the culture of home health care agencies where we don't turn a blind eye. Us OTs in the home health care industry, we go out, we do an assessment. We know that they need to get these things done. Or even the certified nurse, the CNAs that go out to the homes and do bathing services for the first month, you know, as respite or whatever. Sometimes that's added to their care plan. And the shower is so unsafe and the way that they get in and out, but that we're still turning a blind eye. So what if there was something changed? It has to change. It just has to. But the home healthcare agencies, you know, what if they were to reach out to, you know, or create their own programs, but really respond to that need in the house? And I know that it's not realistic because there's no funding, but it's also, is it ethically correct that we just look away and don't, you know, stare at it? I think the doctor needs to be notified, and, you know, why can't we advocate for, you know, this grouping of people that are struggling in their homes and getting readmitted to the hospital because they've had a fall after the fall, you know?
I think if we had companies that could partner with skilled home health agencies.
Yes.
Just like you have companies that offer technology for the home and they partner with the home health companies.
Yeah.
And, you know, as well as companies that sell, you know, different products that nurses need for wound care. Why couldn't we also have companies that are created by OTs or other professionals that are qualified to do a home modification, and then the home health company reaches it out to them and puts them in contact with the homeowner? And then the OT that is in on the case can talk with the OT or other professional that is doing the home modification. That would be the perfect solution. And then there's enough business, you know, to go around for everyone.
Right, right. I mean, and then the glaring issue is the funding source. And of course, if our medical system was cleaned up a bit by then, and there was actually funding available for the modifications they need. But right now it's so piecemeal. We need to find nonprofits and different grants that can actually pay for the modifications that are recommended. And that's something that I'm working on behind the scenes as well. Could we identify kind of wish list patients in your community that, yeah, we have a list of things that they need to get done to have their home be safe. We already have the scope of work and the contractor estimates. And could we put those all in a system where now if somebody were to write a grant or a legislator wanted to look at, hey, this region has $30,000 in home modification need. This is going to reduce costs because the home mods X, Y, and Z are going to prevent hospital readmissions and falls. Do we need to write grants for this, or do we need to change the tax code and get a tax write-off for these, tax credit for home modifications, you know, all of these things. But what we're doing, the home healthcare agency is doing, is we're turning a blind eye to data. There's a lot of data. What if we were able to, you know, put all of that, those recommendations, to combine them and identify and remove all of the personal information and just identify, okay, this region, we have, you know, 50 patients and this is their need. This is how much those modifications are. Write a grant and get them done, or, you know, change some of our health plan. It's a mess is the, another answer to your question, but it's tricky because there is no funding for home mods for people who are Medicare level, or Medicare pays for the home modification assessment and the caregiver training, but it doesn't pay for the recommendations. Yeah. So it's a tricky one.
I believe that the answer lies somewhere between education, where you educate the well elderly, or, you know, the younger baby boomers, just like people have been educated about having a healthy diet.
Right.
If you, most people know that if you have a diet that's high in saturated fats and you're consuming simple carbohydrates, that you are going to be at higher risk for diabetes and heart disease, even if you're not currently overweight. So everyone should try to keep a healthy diet and exercise regularly, regardless of what you look like. Right. So I think that we can apply the same thinking to home modifications, that just because you currently are not at risk for a fall doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. And it's a good idea to invest in your home and make changes that are going to allow you to live in your home longer and make your home more comfortable and, you know, increase independence when you don't need these changes.
Right.
Right.
The urgency.
And then that coupled with tax credits or tax benefits, where people can take advantage of that, just like with energy, then people would be much more likely to make these changes.
Yep, that's right. That's right.
Well, Kat, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. We learned so much, and I am going to include the URLs for your two websites on the show notes so that people can learn about your company and then also learn about the ECHM program and learn about your Home Mods mentorship program.
Wonderful. Well, it's great to meet you and talk to your group, and I'm available if anybody has any questions, or the more complex, the better. I do enjoy the more trickier, nuanced cases, and I'm happy to help where I can.
All right, great. Thank you, Kat.
Okay, take care.